I want to share something that's really on my heart here. From the time I came into the kingdom, I began to run across this problem. And the Lord's grace has been with me because I really loved His Word. And, of course, He gave me that gift to do that. I can't claim any credit for that. But He put the desire in me to love His Word, and it protected me from a lot of things. I tell you, if you put the Word in your heart, it'll protect you from the foolishness of man and the principalities and powers that are always seeking to plunder you and take authority over you. Since I love the Word of God so much, it grieved me when I ran across people who professed that they were obeying the Spirit of God, and yet it was contrary to the Word. Well, this was just kind of inconceivable to me, you know, because I was reading the Word so much. But I did a lot of research. One of the first times I ran across this was the Logos Rhema theory, which is, of course, that even though God makes promises in there that are in the written or in the Logos, their doctrine was that you had to have a Rhema or it really wasn't, you couldn't count on it, you know. And basically to them is when the Holy Spirit spoke that verse to you individually. So when these people started espousing this theory, I would tell them, I says, look, there's no truth to that whatsoever. I learned to receive from God by just standing on the Word of God. I never waited to hear any voice to tell me you can believe the Word of God. Why would the Holy Spirit have to tell you, you can believe what I said? I learned something about the Logos Rhema. It's true. There is a Logos and there is a Rhema. And any time a person is humble to what they see in the Word, it becomes a Rhema to them. It becomes real to them because they're believers. Don't you know that the Logos is totally useless to unbelievers? And the Christians that I was running into in those days, they were, in effect, unbelievers because they never acted on what they saw there and they never received anything from God. I was receiving miracles from God. So I knew they were wrong because I never heard a voice tell me, well, you can believe this verse. I mean, remember the parable Jesus gave about Lazarus and the rich man? And the rich man was in Hades and he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus up to tell his brothers about this place. And what did Abraham tell him? No, they wouldn't believe if somebody came to him from the dead. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe if somebody came to him from the dead. If you don't believe what's written, is the Holy Spirit going to come tell you, you need to believe this? Or this is true? I wrote this? Do we understand that the Lord already wrote all of this already? That the Holy Spirit wrote this already? You know, it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 19, it says, but we have the word of prophecy made more sure. Well, I tell you, that's what we need nowadays, folks. We need a sure prophecy. Because there's so many crazy prophecies out there, we don't know who to listen to unless we've already believed the Word of God. We have a word of prophecy more sure, whereunto you do well to take heed. In other words, pay attention to this prophecy. Not all the crazies that are running around out there sharing prophecies with you. I tell you, it's probably one among 400 like it was in Isaiah, you know, that has it right. And not only that, you can have someone who has shared good prophecies with you, and then all of a sudden a ringer comes in there. You know, the devil is very tricky. He's very tricky. He knows that if you're someone who respects the truth, he has to use more truth before he mixes the error in, or you won't accept it. So you have to be careful. And you have to measure everything up to the more sure word of prophecy, which is the Bible itself, the Word of God itself. So he said, take heed, like a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Obviously, when the Lord is manifested in you, you won't have to worry about this, right? Well, right now, we do have to hold people's feet to the fire as far as the Word is concerned. Verse 20 says, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Who wrote the Scriptures? The Holy Spirit wrote the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit wrote the Scriptures. Now, is the Holy Spirit going to say something different than what He already wrote? Can we trust Him? Is He a man that He would have to change His mind? Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that He should lie. In other words, what He wrote, He's going to stand behind. God cannot lie, the Scripture says. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Meaning, He doesn't have to change His mind. After 2,000 years, after He wrote the Bible, for instance, the New Testament, does He have to change His mind nowadays? It says, He's not a man that He should repent. Hath He said, and will He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and will He not make it good? We can't trust what men say when they say it's the voice of the Spirit if it's contrary to the Word of God. That's what I'm saying, because the Holy Spirit is not going to change His mind. You know, if a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, we're only 2 days from when the New Testament was spoken by the Spirit of God. What do you call someone who changes their mind after 2 days? I'd say that's pretty schizophrenic. We know the Holy Spirit is not. We know the Holy Spirit is not going to say anything contrary to what He's already written. He wrote the Word, and we can trust the Word, and He gave it to us so we would know the voice of the Spirit. Any prophecy or any spoken word, thus saith the Lord, or any other word of knowledge or wisdom that doesn't agree with the Word, guess what spirit that comes from? We have to be careful, folks. That Logos Rhema thing, I knew it was wrong right off. The Lord told me every word that I humbled myself to and believed with my heart became a Rhema to me. I didn't have to have some voice in my ear. I ran across people who got voices in their ears, but they weren't getting what I was getting. They weren't getting healing consistently. They weren't casting out demons. They weren't seeing miracles. They weren't seeing storms moved out of the way and the creative miracles. They weren't seeing any of that. You know why? They were waiting for the voice of the Spirit. And the particular Spirit I'm talking about doesn't do miracles. And doesn't do deliverances and doesn't heal. You know, Satan doesn't cast out Satan, folks. If you just humble yourself to the Word of God, you will see consistent signs and wonders and miracles. And you will see God's Word come to pass. But you can't trust in what men say. And if you did, you're an idolater. That's the problem with religion. You know, in religion, people respect men. God is offended that people respect men. He wants them to respect His Word. I remember years ago, I shared this once before, I'll share it again. I ran across a couple of guys that they heard the voice of the Spirit. In fact, they heard Him so good that He always spoke to them audibly. Always. And I thought for a minute, when they said that, I says, wow, I'd like to have that. That'd be pretty nice. I don't hear that, you know, all the time audibly. So they started sharing things with us, and it wasn't long. I mean, a few words out of their mouth, and I realized, now, wait a minute, that ain't what I read in the Scriptures, you know, and that doesn't fit this and doesn't fit that. Finally, I realized that was a demon, and there was just happened to be about three of us there listening to him. We were looking at one another, and we knew that wasn't right, you know. So we just offered to cast the demons out of these guys. Of course, they were pretty smug, and they said, sure, do it if you want to. Well, lo and behold, after we got through praying and commanded, they didn't hear the voice of the Spirit anymore. And one of these guys was Mr. America. He became Mr. America. But you know what? He didn't hear that voice anymore. And it was clearly the devil to us who read the Bible. You know what, folks? You can't cast out the Holy Spirit. You cast a demon out of someone that's gone astray, and it comes out, that's not the Holy Ghost. Lots of people think that's the Holy Spirit, but it's not. If you can cast him out, it's not the Holy Spirit. We know the voice of the Spirit by the Word of God. It's the only way you're really going to know. He wrote the Word, according to Second Peter there, and he's not going to change his mind today. Some people say, well, I believe God told me this. I said, well, look at this verse right here. Yeah, but I believe the Lord told me this. So, well, I wonder who wrote this, you know. Look at chapter 2. Well, I'm going to go back to 21, chapter 1. It says, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Of course, we know men prophesy, but not a prophecy from God. But men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. But there arose false prophets also among the people. As among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them. You understand, if you deny the word, you're denying the master. You're denying his lordship over you. Because the word is what God expects of us. It's his commands to us. It's obedience to his will. And so, of course, if you can ignore the word and just listen to the Spirit, you know where you end up. It says, verse 2, many will follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Lascivious doings. See, if you just listen to the voice of the Spirit, so-called, and it doesn't agree with the word, you're going into lasciviousness or licentiousness. You're going into a license to do what you want to do. You know, the Lord said that his words are spirit and truth. His words are spirit and truth. And he also said that the truth would set you free. So the devil really doesn't want you to have truth. If he can slip in there and put you on a sidetrack somewhere, and guide you away from that, you have no power, you will not receive his benefits, just like the people with the Logos Rhema thing. You won't receive his benefits. You'll be waiting for him to tell you that what he said was correct, when he said in the word already it was correct. You know? No, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is trust in what he says. The Bible says, and the Lord said, that if you don't obey his word, which is what the devil wants to do away with, he wants to get you out of obeying what is written. He said if you don't obey his word, you do not love him. Agape him. Agape love him. If you did obey them, that he and the Father would come to live in you. For the Christians who do obey God's word, to the extent they do obey God's word, the Father and Jesus come to live in them. Now that makes sense, since the Father and Jesus are the Word, according to the Scriptures. Therefore, if you become the Word, you become like them. They can, of course, live in you because you are like them, right? John 14 and 23, listen to this carefully. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, that's agape me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Notice that. My Father will love him. If you agape Jesus, which means what? To keep his word, then the Father will love you. That's what it says. Well, I thought the Father loved everybody. Well, you thought wrong. It's not scriptural whatsoever. Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. God hates all workers of iniquity, the Bible says. Well, I thought that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Did you see, some people like to leave off that little phrase there. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where is this unconditional love of God for all men? You better read Romans chapter 9, folks. It's a lie. A flat out lie. Now, who is it that the Father loves? If a man love me, love being agape, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is the person who agapes. And the person who agapes does what? Keeps my word. Verse 24, he that loveth, that is agape, me, not, keepeth not my words. If you do not agape Jesus, you will not keep his word. To the extent you do not keep his word, to that extent you do not agape him. You do not love him. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Notice, if a man agape me, he will keep my word. Do you understand what's at the root of all of this following the Spirit, which in some cases is contrary to what you see in the Scriptures? It is to keep you from agapeing God. Because if you agape God, you will keep his word. Very clearly. Look at the conditions there, folks. Don't be deceived. So, all of this, of course, we know that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But we also know now that being led of the Spirit of God is to be obedient to the Word because the Spirit wrote the Word. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from his own words. So if you are one of those who is walking in the Spirit, it means that you are fulfilling his word. Glory be to God. That motivates us to holiness, separation from the world, right? So God is agape. He is love. And he is what? The word made flesh. So you can't separate agape from the word. This is how we know false spirits. This is what everybody really needs to know, is when we hear the voice of the Spirit, if it agrees with the word, it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. If it doesn't agree with the word, it's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit, an apostle who wrote the word of God said in 1 John 4:6, we are of God. Of course, I think he was talking about the brethren there who were sent with him to do the same work. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And who are they? The ones who wrote the word. Listen, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He who is not of God heareth us not. Well, in 1 John there, when he wrote this word, and he wrote the word about agapeing him, it's clear that those who ignore that and don't believe you have to be obedient to agape are the people he's talking about here. Listen to it again. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. The people who know God hear the word. The people who agape God keep my word, Jesus said. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, it's really a simple thing to know when a word comes from God or whether it comes out of a person's heart or out of their mind. Many of God's people are trapped into different forms of traps and religions and religious spirits and so on and so forth. And of course we pray for all of them that God will give them grace to come out of all of that, no matter which one it is, whether it's the Logos Rhema or other things nowadays where people say that they know the voice of the Spirit, but they don't obey the Word, or the Word is insignificant compared to their prophecy. Right? By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, that's the word agape. And what did we find out about agape? They keep my word. Okay. So everyone that agapes, that is, keeps God's word, is born of God. Wow, did you hear that? Everybody who loves God, which are those who keeps his word, these are the people that are born of God and knoweth God. The people who keep his word are the people that are born of God and know God. Well, you say, well, David, I got you there. I was born again, but I'm not necessarily under the law. I don't have to keep the word. I'm saved by grace. You're preaching salvation by works, so on and so forth. No, what the Word of God says here is perfectly true. If you don't keep His word, you are not born of God and you don't know God. I remember a prophecy one time that one of the first ones that I ever heard, as a matter of fact, and it stuck with me till this day, which is very unusual because I've heard some really glorious prophecies. Some of them even said over me, which would give me a reason to remember them, but I don't even remember them. But I remembered this one. And the first one I heard was, to know God, you must be a part of God. And that's exactly what the Scripture teaches. Born of God. That means to come out of God is to know God, and to come out of God is to be keeping His commandments or keeping His word. So, we can't separate obedience from knowing God or being born of God. You say, well, David, I was born of God, but I haven't been perfectly obedient. Well, let me point out something to you, that the part of you that's born of God is perfectly obedient. And we're growing in this new birth process. We're born again first spirit. And then as we obey that spirit, we're born again in soul. And then ultimately, if we've borne fruit in our soul, we are born again in body. We get a new body. So the born again process is just that. It's a process of spirit, soul, and body being born from God. Coming out of God, who is what? The Word. Jesus was the manna that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world. You eat that manna, and it becomes you. He is the Word that came down out of heaven. So, where are we born from? We're born of the Word. And the Word is who? The Word is God. So, he says, he that loveth not, that is, they agape not, that is, they don't keep my word, knoweth not God. For God is love. That is, God is agape. Do you want to be like God? Do you want to be a son of God? Then you have to be agape. And agape is those who keep my word. That's what he said, very plainly. Notice that everyone who is born of God keeps his commandments and is agape just like him. Without keeping the word, you cannot know the true spirit of God because he is agape. There are many spirits that lead God's people contrary to the agape keeping of his word. There are many different delusions out there, strong delusions that lead God's people contrary to his word. They say this is the word of the Lord, but you look in the Bible and it's not. This is nothing new. It's gone on. I know from at least the time I was a born-again Christian, the very beginning of my Christian walk, I ran into it in many different forms. I told you about the Logos Rhema thing, but there's a more recent delusion that's come over the people of God. We're very familiar with it here in Pensacola, and it is the Toronto-Brownsville spirit. Because they prophesy that this is the word of the Lord, or this is what God wants done, or this is obedience to the Spirit, and when you look in the Word, it's not true. You find that it's not true. It is a deception. And besides that, we have over here cast the demons out of people who have received this anointing. And you cannot cast out the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? When the demons come out, that is proof that they're demons. When the person changes and goes back to respecting the Word, that's proof that that was not the Spirit of God. Well, I've noticed that everywhere this Brownsville thing went, which came from Toronto, that people began to disrespect the Word of God. You would show them the clear verses and they would say things like, well, God's doing a new thing now. And, of course, we know that's not true. There's no new thing under the sun. Even deceptions, there's no new thing. They've been around for a long time. They keep getting passed on and on and on. Here's one thing the Lord pointed out to me about this the Spirit. We just noticed that if we agape God, we keep His Word. This Spirit impresses people that the Lord can speak to them something other than His Word. And in many cases, if they've got the same Spirit, the same anointing, they will believe that. But you see, we have to always go back to the Word. It is our rock. It is our foundation. We've got no foundation without the Word. You've got no foundation to believe that what you're hearing is the Spirit if it's not for the Word. So, what God commands of us is that we agape Him. Well, I want to tell you what the deception is. Here it is in part, okay? It deceives people into accepting only a filio love of God, which is an affectionate, emotional love. But they accept this in the place of the agape love of God. Why do I say that? Well, the devil has a purpose behind this. First of all, you can have this emotionally based filio kind of love without obedience, but it ends up in damnation. You can have filio love, you can have emotional love without the obedience demanded of agape love. Now, the Lord never said, never commanded us to filio Him. Nowhere in the Scripture did He command us to do that. He commanded us to agape Him. And everybody who agapes Him keeps His Word, and they're born of God, and they know God. That's what we just read. They keep His Word, they know God. So if you are agape, you know the voice of God. If you are keeping His Word, you know the voice of God. That's what we just saw. You know, Jesus, basically in John 21, was questioning Peter. He wanted to know if he loved him enough to lay the fish aside and serve him. Do you love me more than these, Peter? Do you agape me? Well, Peter had to admit that he only phileo'd him. He only had filial love for him. But that wasn't what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted him to love him enough that he would obey him, that he would keep his word. And Peter wasn't sure that he had that kind of commitment in him. I'll tell you why he felt like that, I believe. He was such a failure. He told the Lord he would obey Him. He told Him he'd go with Him unto death. And he found out he couldn't do that, which was a good thing, because now he wasn't self-confident. It was a good thing that happened to Peter. The Lord said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail you. So he had to be delivered of that. So Jesus was asking for a commitment of discipleship from Peter when he said, do you agape me? You know, emotions are good when they're submitted to the Spirit. But they're also a foundation for sin. You know that emotions are at the foundation of all sin. Emotions are manipulated by the devil. Now, agape can't be manipulated by the devil, but filio can be, because it's emotional. Now, emotions aren't bad. God has emotions. But God's emotions are submitted to the Spirit. And in humans, it's generally the other way around. That's what makes them bad. So the devil is able to manipulate filio love. And he's able to deceive Christians into thinking that they have this agape love, and that God loves them agape. But we just saw that the Father only agapes those who keep Jesus' commandments because they agape Him. Whoa! You see that? Who is it that God loves? Well, He said, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Weren't they both sons of Abraham? So, filial love in God, because when you look in the Scriptures, you find that God has filial love, but it's very dependable in Him. It's just not in man, because it's very easily manipulated by the devil. It is the foundation. Filio is emotional, and emotions are the foundation of every sin. You know, anger leads to wrath, and lust leads to fornication and, you know, emotions give way to action. Fear can lead to doubt and unbelief. Emotions are not dependable. That's why God wants us to be born of Him, to walk in agape, and cause our emotions to submit to our spirit. That's the only time that they become dependable, like they're dependable in God. Again, God never commanded us to filio Him. He commanded us to agape Him, which is to keep His commandments. Therefore, any spirit that speaks to you contrary to His commandments is seeking to drag you down from agape love to filio love. Because with filio love, you don't have to obey Him. You want to know why so many people get married and after a while so they don't feel it anymore? And after a while, so they just separate? Contrary to God's word even, they separate? It's because they really didn't have godly love. They could be separated. They could be caused to disobey the word of God. I can't tell you how many times in the in this movement, the Toronto Brownsville movement thing, that people decided that they didn't love their mate anymore and separated and even said that God told them to do it. Whoa. Could a spirit, not the Holy Spirit, could a spirit tell you to do such a thing? Of course. Happens all the time. People listen too. But it's not the Spirit of God. So what's going on here? Well, I believe that deceiving spirits will heighten your filio love, and are doing this in some of God's people, to make them believe that they have agape and that He agapes them. You know, feeling love is a wonderful thing, but the kind of love that agape is a love that manifests in actions. So you can have this feeling of love and not act correctly towards people, but you can't do that with agape love. Agape love, you will act in accordance with the scriptures towards them. Jesus said, if you love me as agape me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my word. So, in some places, there are people that are very enthused with God. They have this feeling of love towards God. But it's not the kind of love that would cause them to obey or submit to the word of God. So this is not trustworthy. This spirit has crept in among God's people. People I love have been destroyed by this spirit. Many of my brethren out there have been destroyed by this spirit. When you say, thus saith the Lord, it better be the word. It better be in agreement with the word of God. God pronounced curses on people that says the Lord says when He hadn't said. It's a very dangerous thing to falsely prophesy things of the Lord, or to say the Lord said this and the Lord said that, when it's not according to the word. You see, folks, we're very undependable until we get the word in our heart, until we renew our minds, and we know what the voice of the Spirit is. The word is the voice of the Spirit. He's not going to change His mind in 2,000 years. That's only 2 days to Him. A day is in the Lord's 1,000 years. That's only 2 days. You tell me He says something, and 2 days later He says something contrary? No. We have foundation and basis to believe the Word of God. You have only one foundation to believe anyone else, and that is that you respect them. And if you respect them enough to believe them contrary to the Word, then you're an idolater and very offensive to God. So deceiving spirits can manipulate the emotional realm. They do it all the time. There are very emotional people that feel like they love God with all their heart, and they would, you know, Jesus, like Peter, I'll never leave you, Lord, not me. I'll go with you to the cross. He knew he loved the Lord, but later he found out it was filio love, and he didn't trust in himself anymore. But the Lord wanted of him agape love, which would be to keep His commandments and drop those fish, and let's get about fishing for men here. He said, feed my sheep. So you can see, if the devil is able to replace in a Christian this filio-type love for agape-type love, they will feel like they have love towards God and that He has love towards them, but they will not be obedient, and they really don't know God, and they're really not born of God when they do that. So this destroys this deception. It destroys the rock of the Word, which is in which we have to live upon. We've got no stability. We don't know what. We have to wait to hear from the Holy Spirit to know what's right. You better get in the Word to know what's right, because there's strong delusion out there. And this is part of it. This is part of it. This Toronto thing is part of it. I've been casting demons out like that for some years, and I can tell you, they do come out when a person repents. But you know what? There are other cases where they won't keep it. And it's because they like the idea of cooperating with a spirit that lets them do what they want to do. The devil knows this is how to destroy you. I mean, that's why it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that the word is prophesied by the Spirit, and that false prophets would rise up that would lead to licentiousness or lasciviousness, which means, of course, the license to do what you want to do. You know, people can prophesy things that they want to do. It's so easy. It's self-delusional. It's like, I'm okay, you're okay kind of thing. They'll tell you what you want to hear. They'll tell them what they want to hear. And, of course, it's the voice of the Spirit. So this destroys the rock that we're supposed to live on and kind of replaces it with the sinking sand of man's ideas. Isn't that what the Lord said? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who is going to enter in the kingdom? Those who are born of God. Who is born of God? Those who have agape love. What is agape love? Keep my word. Who is it that knows God? Those who have agape love, according to what we just read. They know God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? And by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How is it that they could love God, believe he was in their favor, cast out demons, do these things, and yet at the same time be living in iniquity? That's the delusion of this following the Spirit when it's contrary to what the Bible says. And that's what the devil is out to, and he's deceiving many multitudes of people in these days. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them. He didn't say, heard the voice of the Spirit and followed him. He said, everyone, because that's exactly what we're going to do if we believe the word. But everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rock. The rock is something stable. It doesn't move from day to day. And it wouldn't have changed in the last 2 days since the Holy Spirit wrote the New Testament to our day. And the rain descended and the floods came. Now this is what's coming, folks. This is what's going to prove those people who have agape love and only filial love. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened to shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Now, who can hear the words and do them not and still claim to be a Christian? Somebody who has filial love but not agape love? A foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. In other words, the tribulations that are coming, folks, the people who don't have agape love are not going to stand. The people who don't keep his word are not going to stand. because they don't have agape, and he is agape. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And great was the fall thereof. Let's look at a few verses here. I'll share some, a little bit more with you. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Time for station identification. You're listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. For information and materials, you can go to our site, americaslastdays.com. We're being broadcast from Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM, 89.9 FM, and 103.7 FM on most of these stations. 2 Samuel 23 and 1. Now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, saith, and the man who was raised on high, saith. You want to be raised on high? Obviously. You want to have dominion like David did? Obviously. The anointed of God. Now, there are a lot of people claiming to be anointed nowadays. But here's one who was anointed. The anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was upon my tongue. So you know when the Spirit speaks, he speaks the word. And we know that any word that the Spirit does speak, it wouldn't be contrary to the word he's already spoken. Or he would be schizophrenic too. So here's the anointed of God. You talk about anointing. Anointing is someone who speaks in agreement with God's word. Others may tell you, well, it's okay to divorce. It's okay to, you know, it's okay, for instance, for a woman to teach or take authority over the man. Oh, just because the word says it, that doesn't mean anything. I heard from the Spirit. No, you see, folks, this is where people are going astray. We cannot depart from the rock. Jesus said, if you agape me, you will keep my commandments. You can go anywhere. You don't have any foundation anymore if you're listening to the voice of so-called the Spirit, and he's disagreeing with the Word. You have no rock. You have no foundation. Here's the anointed of God. Here's the man who represents the man-child here. The first fruits unto God. And when the Holy Spirit spoke through him, it was the Word. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, one that ruleth over men righteously. The rock of Israel. I remember when I was a young Christian that my wife had several visions of me. One of them she had was that she saw me in the middle of a vast ocean of water, standing upon a rock. The only thing that was sticking out of the water was the rock. It was like there was a flood going on. Everything was flooded. There was only one place of safety, the rock. You know what the flood represents, right? It represents the curse of the Word upon the world, because the water is the Word, according to Paul. The curse of the Word upon the world. The curse, the Word is a blessing and a cursing. That's what God told Moses. It's a blessing to those that stand on the rock. It's a cursing to those that don't. It'll drown them. It'll kill them. It'll put them to death. Well, she saw me standing on this rock in the middle of a vast ocean of water. And the thing that always helped me about this was that she said that the Lord showed her that I wasn't standing there by my own strength. Matter of fact, I really couldn't stand there by my own strength because I was crippled. She said I had these leg braces on, kind of like a, you know, the old polio type leg braces, you know? That's what I had on. And I was standing upon the rock, which represents what? The Word of God. This is what we're seeing here. Standing upon the Word. It was the only safe place, folks. And it was by God's strength. That's what I saw in the braces, that I couldn't stand there by my own strength. I had to trust in God. See, some people say, well, you're preaching salvation by works again. No, it's not. It's salvation by faith, because Where does God's power come from to enable you to stand upon the rock? Some of you have tried to stand upon the rock. You tried to stand upon the Word, and you found out you couldn't do it. Well, then, you need the power of God, right? Right. So what brings the power of God? Faith in His promises. That's what enables you to stand upon the rock. If you destroy the foundation of faith in His promises, if you speak by the Spirit and you say God says something contrary to the Word, that's what you're doing. All of those people are going to be out there standing in the water, folks, because they've destroyed the rock. They've destroyed their foundation. They're standing on sand and the water's coming and the wind and the waves are coming. That's what the tribulation's all about. It's going to knock down everyone who has no respect for the Word of God. All those who follow the Spirit, but it disagrees with the Word of God. There's going to be no protection for these people. That's why I'm warning you. I'm warning you because I love you. Because I've seen this over and over. The lives of the people that accept this kind of doctrine, whether it's the Brownsville thing, or whether it's the Logos Rhema thing, or whether it's the two men that that I told you about that we prayed over back at the beginning of my Christianity, they both believed they were perfect. The Spirit told them they were perfect. I ran into some other people after that that they were perfect. I mean, I'm not talking about perfect by faith. They were perfect by manifestation. These guys were perfect. If you didn't believe it, just ask the Spirit in them. He told them they were perfect. Well, you know, we accept by faith that we're perfect, and we know that by doing that, God is going to continue to be manifesting His perfection in us. But when you claim that you've arrived by manifestation, there's nothing else you have to do, right? Well, what happened to these guys I'm talking about is they followed the voice of the Spirit, but it disagreed with the Word of God. They followed the voice of the Spirit. They got delusional. Two of them in particular. One of them had fights with his wife and beat his wife. And the other one was a drug addict. He was a pharmacist and he got his own drugs. And both of them drank a lot, you know. And I says, "You're perfect." Yeah. They believed they were perfect. They listened to the voice of the Spirit, not the Holy Spirit. But you see, they had no foundation. They had no rock. And so they believed what they heard was of God. So David, representing the man-child ministry that's coming, he says that when the Spirit spoke by him, he spoke the Word. And he said the rock of Israel spoke by him. The rock is the Word, according to what Jesus said. Those that keep His commandments are building their house upon the rock. Look at Isaiah 66 and verse 2. "For all these things hath my hand made, and so all these things came to be, says the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and is of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Trembleth at my word. The devil is seeking to belittle God's word. Everywhere this movement goes, folks, I watched it. I followed it. I went to the churches. I watched what happened. Everywhere that movement went, there was a disrespect for the word. And it's still that way today. And a lot of those people, and I'm going to tell you something else, too. I don't have any disrespect for the people. I pray that everyone escapes, you know, the different doctrines that I've talked about that are all based on the same thing. Listening to the voice of a spirit does not agree with the word. I hope they all escape this. But I want to tell you that people that two of my very dear friends years ago got deceived into that doctrine when they went and listened to a man. And he prayed over them. And that spirit came on them immediately. They were different from that day forward. Matter of fact, I saw the demons in their eyes. And there was, I think I shared this testimony, but I'm going to share it with you again. There was a certain woman in that church that I had warned about these two men. And that if they laid hands on her, that she would receive this spirit. And I think I shared it with you a few months back. But so I was seeking by the grace of God to help these guys. And I was just bringing scripture to them, you know, but they didn't have any respect for the scriptures, which was amazing. I want to tell you, it was amazing to me because both of these guys loved the scriptures before this happened. And a false prophet came through and told them something they wanted to hear, and before you know it, they had the same spirit. And so I told this woman, I said, she was talking about how she was trying to argue with this man and show him something. And I said, let me tell you something. You really probably need to stay away from him. I said, because they've been imparting that spirit to other people. And, you know, I went over to this man's house to talk to him one day, and she was there sitting at the table. So I sat down next to her. And while this was going on, now these two men in particular, they were very dear friends of mine. I mean, very dear, very close friends of mine. So I sat down with them there, and while we were talking, which was kind of like around in a circle with this man since his demon had come into him, he believed he was following the Spirit, and he believed he was perfect, too. So while we were talking, a phone call came, and his wife got up and answered the phone and handed it to him, and he found out that one of his children had just gotten in a wreck and was in the hospital. So he got off the phone. He asked us all to pray for his child, which we were doing. We joined hands around the table, and we prayed for this child. And as soon as that happened, he went to get in his car and go to the hospital while we were still sitting there at the table. And I looked over at this woman, and she had a very frightened look on her face that was sitting next to me, a very frightened look, and her eyes were big as saucers, you know. And she said something like, it's coming into my arm. I can feel it. It's coming into my arm. You know, where she had joined hands with this man, a demon spirit was coming into her arm, entering into her body. And so we rebuked the demon, and it left her. But she knew what was happening. I want to tell you, folks, there are anointings out there. And if a person has a demon spirit, and you're susceptible to that particular delusion, they pray over you, you'll get that anointing. You won't want it. It won't be good. You might even like it afterwards, but it's not something that you should want. The Brownsville spirit has been passed on from person to person to person because they lay hands on people. Listen, here's a clue. Listen to this. This will protect you every time. Listen. Don't want anything that doesn't belong to God. Tell God, Lord, if this is of you, fine. If not, I don't want it. Don't say, oh, Lord, look what they're doing. I wish I had that, you know. Just be very careful. Tell God, Lord, I want this. I remember seeing this happen in churches where people would say that in particular, and would be protected and go through the whole thing and never have any effect from it. But others who wanted it because other people got it, wanted this particular anointing, wanted this particular gift because other people got it, they fell into the same delusion. We don't want anything that doesn't come from God. We don't want anything that's contrary to His Word. If you do, you're going to get deceived. There is strong delusion washing over the world right now. Just as we read the other day, there is a false revival and a true revival. The false revival is going to have churches full, people very overjoyed to be there, jumping up and down, you know, enjoying, doing all the spurious signs and wonders that aren't according to the Word, and they're going to be very joyful because they're just full of that filio love. They're very emotional, very joyous, and you think, I want that. Be careful what you think you want. Tell the Lord first, Lord, I don't want anything that's not of you, and I want the truth more than anything else. God will protect you. God will protect you. Look at Psalm 119, verse 171. Let my lips utter praise, for thou teachest me thy statutes. Oh, yes, we need God's statutes. They will protect us. They will deliver us. They will not let us accept anything that's contrary to Him. Let my tongue sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Yes, every last one of them, they're still righteous. They're not old-fashioned. They're still true today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All thy commandments are righteous. Let thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Folks, the people out there in the water are not going to have the help of God. We've got to be standing upon the rock. It is our provision from God. The wind and the waves are coming, and people who are on the sand of their own emotions, the sand of their own ideas, the sand of following the Spirit, that's not necessarily the Spirit that agrees with the Word, they're not going to have that blessing and protection of God. Suppose the man I witnessed to about a while ago that I prayed for his house and commanded the fire to stop, and it stopped at the very boundary of the road where we commanded it to stop. Suppose he was waiting for the voice of the Spirit instead of obeying the Word, which said, I give you authority. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. He took that authority. He agreed with me. We stopped that fire from burning his house. Burned up houses all around him. Didn't touch his. He didn't have any insurance. Brother Kurt over there had a dream years ago. I still remember it. He said that we were all gathered at this white house, and there was a raging forest fire. And we were told, right, Kurt, if I got it right, that as long as we stay in the house was a white house, as long as we stay in the house, we'll be perfectly protected. And Kurt said, that was my house. Well, you know what? All these brethren that were there were people that we knew, right, Kurt? It's not physically my house. It's the house that I'm building by the Word. That's what it is. Kurt said the fire raged right up to the boundary line and stopped. And he said it was burning a foot deep in the earth, wasn't it, Kurt? Something like that. Oh, I'm sorry. 3 inches deep in the earth. The fire was so bad that it was burning down into the earth. But when it got to the property line, it stopped. And we were told, all we have to do is stay in the house and we'll be all right. See, the house that's built by God's Word is a place of His protection, His provision. God's people aren't under the curse. They're standing upon the rock. Let the floods and the winds come. It's going to take out everybody around them, but as long as they're founded on the rock, which He said was what? Keeping His commandments. Keeping His Word. Let thy hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord. And thy law is my delight. Let my soul live. It shall praise thee. And let thine ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. There is a place of safety, folks. Don't be fooled into the many various versions of this deception. Walking by faith in the Lord will deliver us when we stand upon His Word. How about Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14? I go back to 13, I think. The Lord of hosts, Him shall ye sanctify. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. And He shall be for a sanctuary. Those abiding in Him will be our sanctuary. Abiding in Him who is the Word, Him who is agape, is a sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both of the houses of Israel. That's a play on words here. There is an Old Testament Israel and there is a New Testament Israel. And both have stumbled on the same rock, which is the Word. for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. See, that rock is going to bring judgment. Whosoever it falls on, it's going to grind them to pieces. But whosoever falls on the rock will find that mercy and grace of God. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. See, we're going to be judged by the Word. It doesn't matter what the Spirit says to you, quote, if it's not according to the Word. Many shall stumble thereon and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. But bind thou up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. That's, of course, the learners and followers of the Lord. And I will wait for the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. And, of course, we are waiting for him today, aren't we? Right? And he is coming in his people. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, ooh, and unto the wizards that chirp and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? I remember years ago, there was a denomination back over in Louisiana. I don't know how far spread it was. I don't think it was very far spread in Louisiana. But they had some revelation, you know. And I went to kind of seek them out and find out about them, you know. And this denomination was in fact, the strange thing is that every one of the churches that I knew about, they were all pastored by women. And the denomination was headed up by a woman. And the funny thing was, you talk about the chirping and the muttering, this woman had this thing that she called a confirmation. And I remember it till today. She would say the same thing every time. In other words, when she'd speak an utterance, this would be a confirmation that it came from God. And what she would say was, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. I thought, that sounds a little bit like, I'm the Messiah. <You know? laughs> And she would say that. Well, to them, they had been conditioned to believe that when she gave this confirmation, that meant that what she said was the Word of God. That happens a lot nowadays, folks. People respect certain confirmations that this is the Word, that this is the truth, that we're going the right way. Certain signs and wonders happen when you're going the right way, so to speak. But you know what? The Word only gives us one. Is it in agreement with the Word of God? The rest of that's deception. I don't remember Paul ever having such a confirmation. Do you? I don't remember Jesus having such a confirmation. Do you? What they said was in agreement with the Word of God. And what we say and what we think and what we believe and what we follow must be in agreement with the Word of God. There are a lot of familiar spirits out there that give you all kinds of signs. There were certain signs in the Brownsville revival thing that if people didn't get them, they didn't feel like they were with the in crowd. You know? I remember the Pentecostal church I was with, you know? If you didn't fall down in the Spirit, you figured something was wrong with you. But there was quite a few times I never fell down in the Spirit. And I sometimes wondered, Lord, is there something wrong with me? They just made a habit of it. I went into churches where preachers would walk down the line, lay hands on me, and nothing would happen. Everybody else would fall out. And I thought, you know, when I was younger, I thought, Lord, is there something wrong with me? Actually, I think that those spirits speak that to you. There's something wrong with you. You're not buying into this thing. Should not a people seek unto their God on behalf of the living? Should they seek unto the dead? Listen to this. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, surely there is no mourning for them. Or actually, either same wording, no light in them. They speak not according to this word. And they shall pass through it sore, distressed, and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, that they shall fret themselves, and curse by their king and by their God, and turn their faces upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and into thick darkness they shall be driven away. I want to tell you that the false doctrines that permit people to live the way they want to live instead of submitting to the crucified life of the Word of God are not going to afford any protection for the days that are coming. What day is that? Well, if you look at chapter 9 here, you see very clearly the coming of the man-child, Jesus. So this prophecy here is another one of those prophecies that has a double fulfillment. Jesus was a type. He said he was coming as a little baby, a man-child born to a woman, John 16. I believe something is happening now that's even worse than what I have been seeing with the Toronto, Brownsville thing. I believe that the Lord showed me that a lot of the emotional love that was being shown, which was in some cases contrary to the Word, the doctrine was contrary, the Spirit speaking was contrary to the Word, was filial love that was being manipulated because it was emotional. I'm not against emotions, folks. Emotions just need to be submitted to the Spirit of God. That's all. But I believe what we're seeing now is a further degeneration of the filial love into eros love. And I believe we got some good confirmations of that here recently concerning the things that are the music that we were playing, which we have, of course, backed away from because we found out. We actually sat down and looked at the lyrics of it, and we found out that it wasn't scriptural. And that it was, I told Corey one time, I thought that it was, when he actually showed me the lyrics of it, and I looked at that and I said, wow, that's not the kind of love that we have for God or God for us. That's eros love and not God's agape love. And then he gave me a confirmation. It was from Andrew Stroms, which I put on the site. He had brought it with him, as a matter of fact, but I spoke the confirmation. And just a few words into Andrew's article there, he said that this was eros love. I thought, wow, that's amazing. You know, again, there is love that's very emotional and very, you know, wowing to the world. But think about agape love, the very thing that God demands. He doesn't demand any of the rest. The thing that he demands, agape love, is keeping his word. That's what he demands. There's no command to do the others. Keeping his word. If you want to go to our site, there is an article. It's called, Was Toronto a Test? I think we changed that. Something about revival. I'm not sure we... there's an article there about two different revivals that were coming at this time. One of them, I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, just like the unconditional eternal security and the ultimate reconciliation and the people that follow the, quote, Spirit, they have no foundations. Multitudes of these people that fall into these different errors, the devil don't care what side of the you get off on, are going to take the mark of the beast. I'm telling you right now, they're going to take the mark of the beast. All the time they think they're loving God and God is loving them. What was the key? The key was keeping my word. I want to read just a piece of our book, Sovereign God. I gave a teaching in there on the difference between different kinds of demon spirits. And I'm quoting from one chapter. It says, some of these serpent false ministries are as Pharaoh's wise men and sorcerers, who counterfeited the signs and wonders given to Moses. And, of course, they did that in Exodus chapter 7 and Exodus chapter 8. It's interesting to note that though they could counterfeit some of the judgments, turning their staff into serpent, turning the waters into blood, multiplying the plague of the frogs, they could not remove them. Moses removed them, meaning God permitted them to magnify the curse, but they could not deliver from it. And it's still true today that any time you go astray from the Word of God, you can multiply the curse, but you're not going to be delivering from it. I have a dear friend, or at least I had a dear friend, who was mixed up in a ministry that was seeing many signs and wonders. And as I watched, because I felt that the Lord sent me there to question and to look and to learn, I've learned a lot by not necessarily jumping in to take part, but just to stand back and watch, compare it with the Word, you know. So as I watched, I saw that these supernatural occurrences were not gifts or provisions as in the book of Acts or as in 1 Corinthians 12 or 1 Corinthians 14. These signs and wonders seem to be placebos to pacify a desire for the supernatural. They were flesh-pleasing signs that brought no practical, lasting deliverance from the curse, even in the lives and the fruit of these people. The fruit afterwards, in many cases, was worse than before. I perceived deceiving spirits involved, and I even saw, in some cases, I saw the demons. I even saw them in the evangelist. The Lord just had me walk up to the stage, end of the stage one time. There were a lot of people mulling around, you know. I walked up to the end of the stage, and the evangelist walked down. He looked right straight down in my eyes, and I saw the demons in him. And this was at Brownsville. And, of course, some people in the movement in Toronto and in Brownsville, they tried to constrain these people to stick to the Word of God. And they just pass it off, saying that God was doing a new thing. Well, we know that in our own experience, God does sometimes do new things, but there is no new thing under the sun. History just keeps on repeating. And the Bible says in Psalm 119 and 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's not going to change his mind about his word. Everything he does is going to be according to his word so that we might know that we have a rock to stand on. He's not going to depart from it. So we need to find precedent in the Word for our signs and wonders, and they're going to be very practical. I mean, you know, the healing of the sick, the casting out of demons, the provision for God's people, emotional, spiritual, physical. God's always going to do that. We're told in Revelation 22 and 18 that if we add to the words of His book, meaning, of course, we speak as a word from the Spirit, but it's not the Spirit. If we add to the words of His book, that He will add to us the plagues that are written in that book. And if we take away from the words of the book, He'll take away our part from the tree of life. So it's very dangerous that we depart from the Word for anything. Many people have started down a road that gets worse and worse as you go. More and more separation from Christ, more and more sin and perversion. We have to find precedent in the Word for what God desires to do. He's not going to change that. Paul warned of lying signs and wonders that come through Satan and his minions, but are sent by God to deceive those who do not love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12. God is sending a delusion for those who do not love the Word. They'll buy it. They'll be led astray. They'll be out there where the flood is going to take the sand, folks. They're not standing up on the rock. You know, in concern for my friend, whom I knew was really gifted in dreams and visions, I prayed that the Lord would give her a dream or a vision to warn her of what was going on there, because I could see it. But I also knew she was so totally sold on it, she wasn't going to listen to me. So I prayed. And the next time I saw her, which was only a week later, she had received two visions when she was standing in the revival, so to speak. The ceiling disappeared, and she saw a great red dragon, which is, according to Revelation 12, the old serpent, stretched out over the whole building. And we had another brother here who didn't know about this, by the way, who came by to visit us and His name was Bill Taylor. Bill Taylor said he also saw the exact same vision in the exact same building. And you know what the dragon was? Bel the dragon. I don't know if some of you probably, especially Protestants, may have not read the story of Daniel and the dragon. It's a very interesting story. And it's I know that some people consider it only Catholic, but it's really not. It's apocryphal books. And it is a revelation. Like if God would give you a revelation, it's just not part of the scriptures. It was not designed to be part of the 66 books. But it's, in some versions it's called Bel and the Dragon, or Daniel and the Dragon, Daniel and the Dragon, or Daniel and the Serpent. Some versions use the word serpent there instead of dragon. But Bel was the Babylonian Baal. The Babylonian Baal. Look at Jeremiah 23 here. And verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal. Well, this was God's people now. They believed they were prophesying by the Lord, but they were prophesying by Baal. Bel, that is. Bel, the dragon. And caused my people Israel to err. In the prophets of Jerusalem also, I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. And they strengthen the hand of evildoers, so that none doth return from his wickedness. They commit adultery. So that was something that was very, very strong in the revival. The aftermath of the revival and the listening to the Spirit rather than submitting to the Word and being restrained by the Word, all that was put on the side. There was a lot of adultery. There was a lot of people saying that the Lord told them to go and marry someone else. There was a lot of divorce, a very high percentage of divorce, because they had no rock anymore. Everywhere this thing went, I followed it to several churches and found that they weren't preaching the Word anymore. But they believed they were following the Spirit. Well, you know, divorcing your mate because you've received another spirit and remarrying someone else, that's adultery. There was a lot of lust came over the people that so-called received this anointing. A lot of lust. So that none doth return from his wickedness. And I tell you, multitudes of them are still out there, folks. They have never returned from it. That spirit is still upon them. It's ruining them. It's ruining their families. They are all of them become to me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is ungodliness gone forth in all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They teach you vanity. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, why would they falsely prophesy, possibly by a demon spirit, and it be out of their own heart? Because the devil knows if you follow your own heart, you're going to miss God. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who can know it, the Bible says. I hear people say, listen to your heart. Oh, no. Listen to the Word. You listen to your heart, you will go astray. Listen to the Word. They say continually unto them that despise me. Wait a minute. Who is it that despises the Lord? Those who do not have agape love to keep his commandments. The Lord has said, you shall have peace. And unto every man that walketh in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should perceive and hear his word? Hear his word. Who hath marked my word and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth. Yea, a whirling tempest, it shall burst upon the head of the wicked. Those that don't keep his word. See, the wind and the waves are coming, folks, to take out the people who hear these words of mine and do them not, Jesus said. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. Yes, and I believe God's people are God's true people, the elect, those who agape Him. They're going to understand this perfectly. I sent not these prophets, yet they ran. I spake not unto them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then had they caused my people to hear my words, and had turned them away from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. See, folks, I'm not just talking about prophets in particular here. I'm talking about people that tell you this is the word of the Spirit. This is the voice of the Spirit. This is how we're supposed to please God today. Anybody that does such a thing separate from the word are leading you to destruction. Well, you know, this sister also had another vision. She said she saw a Trojan horse being wheeled through the back door of the revival. And a voice told her, Christians brought that in here. And of course, obviously that symbolizes a false gift in which the enemy is hidden inside to conquer them, which is exactly what happened. I'm going to read on here, just a piece of the book here. It says, if the demons cannot keep you out of Christianity entirely, they have another strategy. There are religious spirits that specialize in keeping people in bondage to false so-called Christian religions that do not teach the word, which of course sets free, right? There are many serpent spirits at work in the church today, deceiving many with doctrines of demons, as Paul shared in 1 Timothy 4, 1-3. Serpent spirits are manifests as false directions, false doctrines, false prophecies, false leadership, to name just a few. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. For such men are false apostles, which means, of course, one sent forth by the Lord, obviously. Deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel, which is the word messenger, of light, or truth, right? Represents truth. Satan fashions himself into a messenger of truth. And his apostles are false apostles. Now, where do you find apostles today? You find them in the churches, right? It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we have ministers of righteousness today who are actually ministers of the devil, because they're separating God's people from his word. And the word angel, of course, in the Greek is angelos, and it's sometimes translated messenger when it's speaking about preachers, ministers, like in Luke 7 and Luke 9, both places it's used. It's obvious that there are men who have infiltrated the ranks of ministers who are sent by Satan through their own ego and religious organizations and a desire for money. Obviously, there's a big money maker in this so-called revival. And both Jesus and Paul taught that these ministers were in the majority in their day. That's astounding. John 10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 2. These serpent spirits are also mind-corrupting. One thing the Lord showed me about serpents and scorpions. Scorpions have the poison in their tail, and the serpent has the poison in his head. That means it's a mental corruption that the serpent does. And the word scorpizo means to flee in terror from. A scorpion, even though it's a very little small thing, it causes people. It's kind of like the wasp that God sent out to run the enemies out from in front of his people. You know, it's a very little thing, but it can cause you to run, you know. And, of course, I liken that, scorpizo spirits, to being things like fear, anxiety, you know, things that cause you to flee from the enemy rather than fight the enemy. Oppression, yeah. So these serpent spirits are also mind-corrupting. The poison is in their head, such as lust and greed and anger and bitterness and lying and homosexuality and alcoholism, idolatry, uncleanness. I tell you, if you have a revival, it ought to be delivering you from those things instead of delivering you over to those things. But we have to look at the proof of what happened. That's the problem. There is a great falling away among those people. And they have, I think, are now degenerating to the next step of this erotic type love. Our love for the Lord doesn't have anything to do with a fleshly love or a physical love for the Lord, nor does His love for us have anything to do with that. That's a deception. That's a lie. And people who are buying into it are being delivered over to all kinds of lusts. As Andrew Strom said very plainly on our site on that article, Brother Bob here has something to say.
Yeah, God bless you. I was just to say that that's a really powerful teaching, because it's something that you think goes away with time, but it just kind of resurfaces in another way. I went to the Brownsville thing, I think, 3 times, and the Lord was very gracious and very quickly showed me what was happening. But I did have an opportunity. Well, I had many friends that were affected and kind of drawn into this thing, and it ruined a lot of people's lives. And like David said, with divorces, I have personal testimony on just what happened with a very close friend of mine when I first moved to Panama City, because they were Christian friends. I was living with them for a short time until I could find a house. And this is when the Brownsville thing was going on, so I got invited to go to it. And after going, like I say, a short time, the Lord gave me a conviction as to what I was seeing, and it just seemed to be that we had a lot of people that were chasing the emotionalism of what was happening. And I really questioned in my heart as to what the impact was in terms of how much of Christ was being born and then how much of the Word was being written on their hearts. But the preaching of John the Baptist, which is repent and believe, is what really separates us from sin in the power of Jesus Christ, and I wasn't hearing a lot of that. But what I would say is that recall the vision that we just recently got also talked about, that Jesus gathered up his disciples outside the camp. And again, what we're seeing here in this break between the two different camps of these two different revivals, that one was termed a counterfeit revival and then the revival of the remnant. For myself, it's something that I looked at a long time ago in terms of, for some reason, the Lord brought me to clarity in terms of the separation that I needed to make through a different way. It was through the book of Revelation, when I went into chapter 18 and some other places, and I saw the apparel that the harlot was wearing. It became very clear to me that this harlot seems very, very familiar in the ornate kinds of dress that she had. Whether it be the chalices of gold, the pearls, or I don't know if you'd call it rosaries, or ivory, the incense, the things that we're all familiar with. So I had, I think that when we look at what this dream is showing, or this vision was showing, that we can expect that this is a good thing in the direction that the Lord is taking this ministry, as far as the way the description was in terms of the remnant that's going to be. And to me, it looks to me an awful lot like the remnants right now that are underground in places like China and Russia, okay, where these people are under true persecution. These are true saints of God, that where there's a cost to be a Christian. But what I'd say is that, what I noticed with this couple was that they were very, very happily married. I was just really taken for a good long time that this couple really is, they're walking in agreement with the Word of God, and they love each other. Well, the wife very soon, this word woman and authority, boy, she changed her feelings about that. Boy, she just started reading all these different things, and lots of them tended to be the females in the pulpits. So what was happening was that, and I would just say that some time ago the Lord convicted me about, I don't read anything anymore, that is books or listen to CDs, that are from females. Now, I'm not to say, understand this, that when we read this in God's Word, these aren't my words or anybody else's word. I think if we're disciples of Jesus, we have to have a conviction in our heart that the Lord said it, we receive it, okay? But anyway, I had received that, and I was noticing that when I'd hear any females that would come up on the radio that would be preaching a message, which they didn't really belong there according to the Word of God. I'm not to judge them. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're going to walk as a disciple, hey, let's, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, Christ-like, you know, you're a disciple of Jesus. So what was happening was that I thought, well, I normally don't like to listen or read any counterfeit, but I figured, well, I'll just see how long it takes to find the counterfeit in this. And remember, they can give a, you know, you can give just enough truth, but then the leaven can ruin the whole message, okay? So I can just tell you that the Lord just would open up my understanding, and I would tell you every single time you can catch the leaven, okay? So I'm not just, in other words, we didn't write the laws, the Lord wrote them, so we're just here to be obedient to them, okay? Well, and the same thing goes as far as my conviction, as far as, you know, with listening to these kind of things. It's like the U.S. Mint Treasury, you know, the way that you study to keep from and catch the counterfeit is to really view the original. And the original that we have is the doctrine of Jesus Christ is in the Word of God. And if we spend our time reading other things, thinking that we're going to be edified by those, then soon we don't separate the counterfeit from the truth. It becomes a big mixing bowl. So I feel that way strongly about that, and I know that the Lord keeps me safe in that way, and I just, you know, I think that's a real blessing to me with His grace. Today when I was reading some scriptures, I was reading in Ezekiel in 14:7 through, I guess it was 9. Let's read that real quick. For everyone of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, Lord, will answer him with myself, and I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if that prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Well, I'll just tell you another thing, that these kinds of things, and we got the new one coming up now with the Zihop thing out of Kansas City, okay, that was written by Andrew Strong. Well, anyway, it's like it becomes a den of just foul birds after a point in time. And I can say that because here, what happened at Brownsville, these friends of mine that were so close, they were 10 and they picked up the spirit from Brownsville. And they said, Bob, come on with me. You know, I'll go, no, y'all just go ahead. I'm just not, you know, going to be messing with this. But anyway, they then went, see, this merchandising that Dave was talking about, it goes with CDs, it goes with the books and all of merchandising in the ways of the Lord. And there was so much money that was raising up the top that even the newspapers got a hold of, where was this money being spent? You know, is this of God or not of God? Well, I'm telling you, when you get to where you're, you know, $250,000 Winnebagoes and things like that for the people that are at the top, you know, was that money that was given for the glory of God and you know, the handling of those things, I don't feel bring forth the fruit of Christ that way. Well, what my point was that these materials, it becomes a den for foul birds. And what comes with that is you have all these people across the nation that feel they're gifted in these areas. They start showing up on the scene. And like I was hearing my friends, you know, talk about, well, we're going to this person here. We're going to go see a prophet. We're going to see a prophet. And they're going to actually get prophetically, I don't know if you call it a reading or what, but just let me tell you that they sit down with a prophetess, and they, you know, when it was all over, they'd, you know, give them their gift of $50 or whatever like that. But I'm just telling you, it's just merchandising in the ways of the Lord. And I think that, you know, this is, you know, and the kind of questions they would bring would be, when I was reading this, I just wrote off the side of the Sardemole in this Ezekiel right here, I just wrote Brownsville. Well, that's what I remember. And they believe what this prophetess said, and again, is the inquiring of the Lord. The Lord says that, you know, that if the prophet deceives you and tells you in agreement with what your idol is that you're really chasing after with your heart, that is not really according to the Word of God, it's the Lord that's deceived that person through the prophet. Okay? So, let's see. Anyway, I just... I was just hoping maybe because of how rampant this thing is and because of so many dear friends I had that ended up hurt by this, that maybe David could also share with us in terms of what he feels is the proper thing to do. I do know that, you know, I've been involved before when we've cast out demons and whatnot, you know, with people that have picked up the spirit. But I tell you what, it's very genuine, very real. But what it requires is a person really renounce any convictions that they have that separate them from the Word of God. And what I mean by that is that the word women in authority is a very powerful direction that this thing, these people would not receive that. And so what Dave was talking about in terms of just picking and choosing and receiving parts of the Word, the Lord wrote it. It's gospel. I believe it. I walk in it. And I think that's what we have to do in order to really overcome such a demon as this that is so very, very subtle. But I was hoping maybe Dave could tell us a little bit more in handling and dealing with that type of demon.
One thing that comes to me is anointings can be transferred very easily, good and bad, you know. And I noticed that this particular spirit is passed on from person to person. They pray over you, and if you are not protected by the Lord, it will be imparted to you. And I talked to Brother Michael Schoberg recently, whose wife, the Lord had spoke to her. She'd gone to a meeting, and there were some Brownsville people there, and the Lord said to her, "Do not let them lay hands on you." She didn't know anything about why. She had no idea about these people or anything about them. She said, the Lord said, "Do not let them lay hands on you." Well, pretty soon it got around to where they were kind of pressuring her to, "Oh, come on, let's pray for you," you know. And she gave in, you know, and they prayed over her. And now he's divorced. And that's happened over and over and over. If you know someone, don't desire after their gift because you see that they're very bubbly or have what you think is the joy of the Spirit or because it's supernatural and your friends are accepting it. I tell you, we had witnesses from people who went in there and came out, and the Lord told them, go back in there and renounce that, all of that. They had to go back and renounce it. And don't let these people lay hands on you. Exactly what the Lord said to this girl. Do not let them lay hands on you. They can impart that spirit. Turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't want anything that's not from you. Nothing. If it's from you, I want it. If it's not, I don't want it." Don't accept it because anybody pressures you. You know, don't let anybody put any peer pressure on you. Be careful. Be careful. And love the truth. This is the main thing that's going to protect you, is to love the truth.
Yeah, I just thought of something else that I meant to share a second ago. But anyway, this couple that I was staying with, what ended up happening was that the wife was very submissive to her husband when I first was in that situation living there with him. And what happened very quickly was I noticed a change in terms of that not being the case any longer. And then one day I invited them to come and visit our ministry here. And just as we're sitting here today and we're talking about the Word of God and preaching truth and whatnot, that couple came in together and they sat on the couch right across from me here. I remember it, you know, just as clear as day. And I would say after we prayed, we weren't 10 or 15 minutes into the message. And the more truth that was coming out, I was just watching this woman as she was getting more and more and more antsy. And then she finally just stood up and said, "Come on, Don, we got to get out of here. We got to go." And it was just, previously, this wife would never have done such a thing because she respected her husband. But that was not the case that night. And then I'm sorry to say now that couple, a short time after that, they were divorced.
Yeah, I remember that lady telling me that she believed that the guy was going to kill her husband. And if I'm not mistaken, this man said that he was very, very, had been very sick for a long time. And he believed that that she was poisoning him before she divorced him and married another man, that she was poisoning him. And Bob said, yeah, and he got well after she left. So it seemed to be something behind that. You just don't know, folks. These demon spirits, you know, they come in as though they represent the Lord. But we have to hold fast to the Word. We have to love the Word. We have to hold fast to the truth, you know. I'm going to share just a little bit of this, just a moment. I shared this a while back, but I want to share part of it for, you know, because it really does speak to what we're talking about here. And this is the Shepherd of Hermas. It actually, at one time, was in the Bible, but I don't think it's supposed to be. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a revelation that was given to one of the early church fathers, in which the Lord appeared to him as a shepherd and gave him revelations to give to the church. It's very good. I don't hold it on the level of scriptures. I want you to know that. But outside of the scriptures, it's one of my favorite books. It has a lot of good advice. And it was given to a people who were going into the tribulation. They were going into great tribulation in those days. Great persecution by the world beast and the world harlot. And God was preparing them for tribulation. Let me read a part of this to you. While I was sitting in, this is one of the revelations where the shepherd, who was the Lord, appeared to him. While I was sitting in my house and glorifying the Lord for all that I had seen and reflecting on the commandments, because they were fine and powerful and joyous and glorious and able to save the soul of man, I said to myself, I will be blessed if I walk in these commandments, and whoever walks in them will be blessed. And while I was saying this to myself, I unexpectedly saw him sitting beside me and saying these things: Why are you double-minded about the commandments which I commanded you? They are fine. Be not double-minded at all, but put on the faith of the Lord and walk in them, for I will strengthen you in them. These commandments are beneficial for those who are going to repent, for if they do not walk in them, their repentance is in vain. So you who repent must put aside the evils of this world which destroy you, and by putting on every virtue of righteousness, you will be able to keep these commandments and add no longer to your sins. So by adding nothing, you will cut off much of your former sins. So walk in my commandments and you will live to God. All these things have been spoken to you by men. After he had spoken of these things with me, he said to me, Let us go to the country and I will show you the shepherds of the sheep. Let us go, sir, I said. We came to some plain, and he showed me a young shepherd wearing a suit of clothes, yellow in color. He was tending very many sheep, and these sheep seemed as if they were living luxuriously and indulgently, and they were joyous, and they as they skipped from here to there, and the shepherd himself was most joyful over his flock. Even the appearance of the shepherd was very joyful, and he ran about among the sheep. And I saw in one place other sheep living indulgently and luxuriously, but they were not skipping about. What did he mean by indulgently and luxuriously? I'm going to flip over a couple of pages here. He says, So every man who lives in luxury and self-deception is tormented in this way. For even though they have life, they have given themselves over to death. Sir, I said, what sorts of luxury are harmful? He's going to explain what he means by luxury. He said, everything, he said, which a man likes to do is a luxury for him. For even the man who is ill-tempered lives in luxury when he satisfies his passion. And the adulterer, and the drunkard, and the slanderer, and the liar, and the one who covets, and the robber, and the one who does such things as these satisfies his own sickness. So he lives in luxury by his own action. All these luxuries are harmful to the servant of God. So because of these deceptions, those who are punished and tormented are suffering. Okay, so this flock that he saw that was led by the yellow shepherd. Yellow isn't quite white, is it? Could give you an idea of the meaning, I'm sure. He said the sheep seemed as if they were living luxuriously and indulgently. In other words, they were giving in to their flesh. They had received a lascivious spirit and were joyous, as I skipped about here and there. And the shepherd was too. Then he said unto me, do you see this shepherd? He said, yes. I see, sir. This, he said, is the angel of luxury and deception. He destroys the souls of the servants of God who are empty and turns them away from the truth by deceiving them with evil desires in which they are destroyed. For they forget the commandments of the living God and walk in deception and vain luxury and are destroyed by this angel. Some to death, some to corruption. I said to him, sir, I do not know what to death and to corruption means. Listen, he said, the sheep which you see that are very joyful and are skipping about are the ones who have completely withdrawn from God and have given themselves over to the desires of this world. For these, then, there is no repentance unto life, for in addition they have blasphemed against the name of the Lord. For such, then, there is death. But the ones that you saw not skipping about, but feeding in one place, are those who have given themselves over to luxury and deceit, but have not blasphemed against the Lord. So these are corrupted from the truth. For them, then, there is hope of repentance, by which they are able to live. So corruption has hope of renewal, but death has eternal destruction. Again, he went on a little further, and he showed me a large shepherd who seemed wild in appearance, wearing a white goatskin, and he had a bag on his shoulder and a very hard and knotted staff in his hand and a great whip, and he had a very bitter look, so that I was afraid of him, such a look that he had. This shepherd, then, was receiving from the young shepherd the sheep, those that were living indulgently and luxuriously and not skipping about. And he set them in a certain precipitous place full of thorns and thistles, so that the sheep were unable to disentangle themselves from the thorns and the thistles, but were caught in the thorns. So they were feeding while entangled in these thorns and thistles, and being beaten by him, they were very miserable. And he was driving them about here and there, and he gave them no rest at all, those sheep that had no peace at all. So when I saw them so flogged and so miserable, I was distressed on their account, because they were so tormented and had no relief at all. And I said to the shepherd who was speaking with me, sir, who is this shepherd and who is so merciless and bitter and has no compassion at all for these sheep? This, said he, is the angel of punishment. He belongs to the righteous angels, but he is in charge of punishment. He receives then those who have strayed from God and walked in the desires and the deceptions of this world, and he punishes them, as is fitting, with various terrible punishments. I would like to know, sir, I said, what these various punishments are. Listen, said he, to the various torments and punishments. The torments befall one during his earthly life. For some are punished with losses, and some with deprivations, and some with various illnesses, and some with total disturbance, and some are abused by unworthy persons and suffer many other things. For since many are unsettled in their decisions, they try many things, and nothing at all succeeds for them. And they say that they do not prosper in their affairs, and it does not enter into their hearts that they have done evil deeds, but they blame the Lord. So whenever they suffer every kind of affliction, they are turned over to me for good instruction, and are strengthened in the faith of the Lord, and serve the Lord with pure hearts, and rest the rest of the days of their lives. Then, whenever they repent, the evil deeds which they did come to their hearts, And then they glorify God because he is a righteous judge. And because each one rightly suffered everything for what they had done. From then on, they will serve the Lord with their hearts pure and prosper in all that they do, receiving from the Lord all that they ask. And then they glorify the Lord because they are turned over to me and no longer suffer any evil. I said unto him, Sir, explain something else to me. What do you want to know? He said, Whether, sir, said I, those who live luxuriously and in self-deception are tormented for the same time that they live in luxury and self-deception. He said to me, They are tormented for the same time. Sir, said I, they are tormented too little, for those who live in luxury and forget God ought to be tormented sevenfold. He said to me, You are foolish and do not understand the power of torment. Well, sir, I said, if I had understood, I would not have asked you to explain it to me. Listen, said he, to the power of both. The time of luxury and deception is 1 hour, but an hour of torment has the power of 30 days. So if anyone lives in luxury and deception for one day and is tormented for one day, the day of torment has the impact of a whole year. So a man is tormented for as many years as days he lives in luxury. You see then, he said, that the time of luxury and deception is very short, while that of punishment and torment is great. You know, obviously when you're giving yourselves over to self-will, doing what you want to do, living in luxury of the lusts of the flesh, because it is a luxury, I mean, it's something we really can't afford to do in the short time we have left, that a person who is delivered over to that, God says he's going to deliver them over to torment, to punishment, to bring them to repentance, and so that they can be restored. Sir, I said, since I do not understand at all about the times of deception and luxury and of torment, explain it more clearly to me. He answered and he said, Your foolishness is persistent, but you do not wish to purify your heart and serve God. Be careful, he said, lest the time be fulfilled and you still be found foolish. Listen then, he said, so that you understand these things just as you wish. The one who lives in luxury and self-deception for one day and does as he pleases has put on considerable foolishness and does not know that he is what he is doing. For on the next day he forgets what he has done the day before. For luxury and deception have no memory because of the foolishness in which they are clothed. But when punishment and torment cling to a man for one day, he is punished and tormented for a year. For punishment and torment have long memories. So when a man is tormented and punished for a whole year, then he remembers the luxury and deception, and he knows that he suffers evil because of them. So every man who lives in luxury and self-deception is tormented in this way. For even though they have life, they have given themselves over to death. Sir, said I, what sort of luxury are harmful? Everything, he said, which a man likes to do is a luxury for him. For even the man who is ill-tempered lives in luxury when he satisfies his passion. And the adulterer and the drunkard and the slanderer and the liar and the one who covets and the robber and the one who does such things as these satisfies his own sickness. So he lives in luxury by his own action. All these luxuries are harmful to the servant of God. So because of these deceptions, those who are punished and tormented are suffering. But there are also luxuries which save men. For many live in luxury because they are moved to do good by their own pleasure. So this luxury is advantageous for the servants of God and brings life to such a man. But the harmful luxuries mentioned before bring torments and punishments, and if they persist and do not repent, they bring death on themselves. A few days later, I saw him in the same plain where I had also seen the shepherds, and he said to me, What do you want to know? I am here to ask you, sir, said I, to command the punishing shepherd to leave my house, for he troubles me very much. It is necessary for you to be troubled, he said, for so has the glorious angel given orders concerning you, for he wants you to be tested. Why? What have I done so that is so evil, sir, that I should be given over to this angel? Listen, he said, your sins are many, but not such as that you ought to be given over to this angel. But your house has done great sins and iniquities, and the glorious angel has become embittered by their deeds. For this season he ordered you to be troubled for a while, that they might repent and cleanse themselves of all the desires of this world. So whenever they repent and are cleansed, then the angel of punishment will leave you. I said to him, sir, even if they have done such things that the glorious angel has become embittered, what have I done? There is no other way they can be troubled, said he, than if you, the head of the house, be troubled. For when you are troubled, they of necessity will also be troubled. But while you prosper, they can have no trouble. But look, sir, I said, they have repented with all their hearts. I also know, he said, that they have repented with all their hearts. Do you think, he said, the sins of those who repent are immediately forgiven? By no means. But the one who repents must torment his own soul and be extremely humble in everything he does and trouble and be troubled with all kinds of tribulations. And if he endures the tribulations that come to him, surely the one who created and enabled all things will have compassion and give him some healing. And this, certainly, if he sees that the heart of the one who repented is clean of every deed. But it is beneficial for you that your house be troubled at this time. But why do I tell you so many things? You must be troubled, just as that angel of the Lord who gave you over to me has ordered. I mean, the Bible says, through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom, right? And give thanks to the Lord for this, for he considered you worthy to show you the tribulation beforehand, so that knowing of it in advance, you may bear it bravely. I said to him, sir, you stay with me, and I will be able to endure every tribulation. I will be with you, he said, and I will ask the punishing angel to trouble you more lightly. But you will be troubled for a little while, and you will be restored again to your place. Only continue to be humble, and serve the Lord with a pure heart. Both your children and your household walk in my commandments, which I give you, and your repentance can be strong and pure. And if you, with your family, keep these things, all trouble will leave you, and trouble will leave all, he said, who walk in these my commandments. Trouble will leave all, he said, who walk in these my commandments. So you see, folks, many people, because they've given in to what he calls luxury and deception, are also delivered over for punishment, so till they repent and renounce and turn away from these things and count the cost. He said even a repentance does not necessarily deliver you out of the hand of that chastening just because you've repented. It may take a little bit of time, but you have to trust the Lord and you have to walk by faith. And what I say is the best thing to do is be very careful what you become involved in, what you read. I had a very good friend of mine who was an apostle, and his wife picked up a book, started reading it, and he was looking at her, and he saw demons enter into her when she was reading this book. And he reached over to snatch the book and said, what are you reading? And it was some kind of a cult book, you know. He commanded the demons to come out. Well, you know, folks, there are a lot of things you read that open you up. There are a lot of people you meet that if you give in to their spirit, you'll be opened up to this deception. And I want to say I believe the luxury comes right along with it, because deception is all only for one purpose, and that is to separate you from keeping God's commandments. And anything outside of keeping His commandments is a luxury, because you can't afford it. You know? So be very careful. Pray. Ask God to guard you. And if you have been involved in something like this, renounce it in the name of Jesus. Renounce it. Turn away from it. Seek the truth. Seek the word. Ask people to pray for you to be delivered from this spirit that's been passed on to you. If you think I'm just talking about Brownsville and Toronto, you're wrong. Because I want to tell you something. They're deceiving religious spirits in all of the religions. The devil doesn't care, you know, what way he puts you in a trap. If he can't keep you out of Christianity, he will trap you in a dead religion that doesn't tell you the truth, that doesn't give you the true gospel. Some people are so devoted to their religion. Why do you think that is? They're so devoted to it, so worshiping it, that they won't give it up. They won't give up the doctrines. It's an idolatry with them. It's a deceiving religious spirit. There are many out there. The only defense we have, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is to love the truth. Seek the word of God. Seek the truth. It will defend you against these deceptions and delusions that people who go into may end up there for years. They may end up under that for years, and some of them will never repent and will miss heaven because they're under that delusion. They have departed from the word. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, they hear these words of mine, but they don't do them. They're building their house on sand. And the wind and the waves are going to come and beat against that house, and great is going to be the fall thereof. Now, he's not talking about people that are going to turn around there. He's talking about a fall, an ultimate fall. Multitudes of people are being destroyed as we speak because they bought into some delusion, some lie, something that permitted them to ignore the scriptures. You know, the devil, it's very easy for the devil to talk most Christians out of the crucified life. Obeying God's word is death to self. What did they tell Moses? You go talk to him. When he speaks to us, if he speaks to us, we're going to die. And of course, the word of the Lord has that effect. It is death. If you want only pleasure for the flesh, don't seek the truth. But if you want eternal life, you have to seek the truth, and you have to lose your life. You know, there are many flesh-pleasing doctrines out there, many flesh-pleasing spirits out there, but they're all luxuries. We can't afford them. I'd like to pray for any of you out there that have been involved in something like this, but you don't know the way of deliverance. I'd like to pray a prayer of faith for you. First of all, renounce any deceiving spirit like that you have bought into that speaks contrary to the word, that you have accepted for the sake of pleasing yourself. You know, luxury and deception. Just renounce it in the name of Jesus. And agree with this prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we know that Jesus set us free. It doesn't matter what delusion, what side trip we've taken, Lord, that's off the straight and narrow path. You paid the price for us to be saved. And Lord, we've all taken little side trips before, and you've taught us things, and you've brought us back, and we're even better for it because we've gone through this situation. We can comfort other people who do go through it, and we see exactly what's wrong with it now because we've been there in some cases. But Lord, we know many people don't even ever come back. And that's the sad thing to us, Lord, is we want all God's people to serve as the elect of God. So Lord, we know that the Lord Jesus bore the penalty for our sins, for all those who repent and believe. But so many of your people, Lord, don't even have the sense to repent, to change their mind, and to believe what your word says. Because they're caught up in these delusions, Lord. We know that the punishing angels that they're delivered over to sometimes, Lord, will bring them to the place where they will cry out to you and will submit to whatever you say. And that's a hope that we have. But also, Lord, there are those that have seen that they have gone astray. They want to follow you, but in many cases they're in bondage to these demons of deception that they've fallen prey to. And Lord, I'm asking you today, Lord, to reach out and touch these souls, They desire your truth, Lord. They're being honest, and they desire your truth, and they want deliverance, and they want to serve your word. Lord, I'm asking you for these people, Lord, that you send deliverance today in the name of Jesus. Matter of fact, we take the authority of God and we break the power of demon spirits, of deceiving serpent spirits over the people of God who have confessed their sins and renounced their evil ways and living after the lusts of their flesh. We break the power of these demon spirits over you in Jesus' name. We command you, you foul spirits, to loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. We forbid your authority over them anymore. They have renounced you. They are under the blood of the Lamb. They are delivered from the curse. They are delivered from the tormentors. Father, we thank you that the power of your Holy Spirit is setting our brethren free even as we speak, Lord. We thank you for the mercy of God that you have given unto them. We thank you that they won't live in their delusion and deception until the end of their life and miss your kingdom, Lord. God, have mercy. God, give us wisdom to be a blessing to your people. Give us wisdom, Father. We need your grace every day. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. In the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, I ask you now to put a real love of the Word of God in your people, a real disrespect for man and man's kingdoms, man's ways, and all the glory of the religious world out there, Lord. Give your people a real disrespect for any such thing. Cause them to, Lord, to be disciples of Jesus Christ and Him only, and submit to His Word, every word that they see, that they will submit to it and consider it your word, Lord. Give grace, Father, to these. Turn their hearts towards you. Send out your revival, Lord, your true revival, to deliver God's people from the deceptions and the luxuries that they afford themselves, Lord, in living after the lusts of their flesh. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, draw your people, Lord. Grant repentance, Lord. Draw them unto you, Father. Cause them to love your truth. Cause them to know the voice of your Holy Spirit that is according to your word in every case, Lord. Cause them to have agape love for you so much that they will be obedient to your words, Lord. They will not consider themselves wiser than you and wiser than your word in any way, Lord, but will submit to your word and say, yes, I agree, I repent, I receive that word, it is your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you for setting the captives free, for opening the prison to them that are bound. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We ask you to show us the path of righteousness and truth and purity. Take us by the hand, Lord. Make disciples of us. Give us your wisdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.